And welcome back as we broadcast live with you from Guinness Warriors Zone, Camp Humphreys in South Korea, the first of 3 days here. And it is a Thursday morning here. It's 9:12 here in Korea time. And every time I've called on this man, he has always been there. I so respect and consider him a friend. Tony Dungy joins us. You see him, of course, on Sunday Night Football in America. And you know, Tony, you made that transition from coaching to broadcasting, and I knew your personality, you know, for a long time, but you made it look so easy. Was it as easy as it looked for you?
Well, it wasn't, Ron. We had great training and great staff there, and they really helped out. And of course, being with a couple of pros too, Dan Patrick was so good and helpful my first few years there, and now with Mike Tirico, the hosts make a big difference in how they set you up and work with you. So the NBC people have made it fun.
How do you see the game of football from that perspective as compared to being on the sideline like you were for so many years?
You know, I think you see it in the same light. Rodney Harrison and I, we talk every week, and we look at it, and we just see so many games that are lost, and the fundamentals and the things that you talk about as a coach. Hey, if we don't beat ourselves, if we play sound football, if we hustle, if we play smart, we're going to be okay. And you see it over and over again where just in tight situations, teams don't execute. And so it just kind of maybe really intensifies and amplifies what Coach Knoll, my coach, always told me, that if you're fundamentally sound and you work hard, you've got a chance to succeed in this league.
This is the 10th year that we've taken the show either to Iraq, Afghanistan, Germany, or other places around the world. First time that we've been in South Korea. And the one thing that we've all said every trip was to see teamwork like this when there's not multi-million-dollar contracts on the line is really amazing. When you take a look at this dynamic, meaning the military dynamic, Tony, what do you see as a man that always certainly instilled pride and also instilled teamwork in the men that you coached?
No, it's really the ultimate, Ron. When we won our Super Bowl in 2006, one of the highlights, we got invited to the White House, President Bush, so we took our whole team there. But on the way, we stopped at Walter Reed Hospital, and we saw some of those men and talked to them. And I said, boy, if I could take 30 of those guys and take them with me and bottle that spirit, we'd win the Super Bowl every year. And just to see, as you say, the teamwork, the sacrifice, the dedication that is not done for multimillion-dollar contracts. It's not done for Super Bowl rings. It's done for the honor of serving your country. It's absolutely amazing.
I've got somebody here that's a friend of yours that wants to talk to you, Bob Delaney. And as he said to me, we talked on planes.
How about that?
And
wow.
So I'm going to turn this over because you know each other and let him do some talking with you, Coach.
Tony, how you been, man? Good to hear your voice.
Bob, I'm doing great. Great to hear your voice. I had no idea you were over in Korea. Wow.
Yeah, Ron, I've been fortunate to go to Iraq, Afghanistan with Ron on these trips. And one of the things that you're just speaking about, you know, I tell people about the time that you spent with our referees in the NBA talking about leadership. And, you know, we've got soldiers here in front of us in the location where we're doing this radio show, but also all of them that are listening on the post and the base. Would you be willing to share those stories that you told our referees about leadership? You have such a way of teaching, and I'd love for them to hear that story.
Well, absolutely. And I guess I got my real first taste of leadership from Coach Knoll, and I talk about him all the time. But when I first went into coaching, he hired me when I was 25 years old, and I asked him, you know, what am I supposed to do? What is my job? And he told me, your job as a coach is to help your players play better and help them be the best they can be. And he told me that, and I thought about him and how spectacular he was as a head coach. But that's because he saw himself not as the boss, not as the person in charge, but he was there to help everybody else. And he thought if he helped us be the best he could be, that was the way to lead. And that was a tremendous lesson for me. And then my high school coach and my college coach talking about me being a leader as a quarterback, that you've got to be there when times are tough. You've got to be there to help everybody else be better. And again, as a quarterback, that's your job, is to bring out the best in your teammates. And the best quarterbacks do that. So my whole thought process in leading was, it's about your group, and it's about serving them, getting to know everybody, figuring out what everybody needs to be the best they can be, and then helping them do that. And that's what leaders do. It's not, you know, rah-rah speeches. It's not being in charge. It's not being the boss. But who can you help to get to their highest level? And that was always my thought.
Yeah, Tony, I got a lot of great opportunities. One was to be around you and spend so many times waiting for planes in Tampa Airport. And I would tell people, you know, I would always hope for delayed flights so that we could just keep talking more and more, because it was so insightful, the conversations that would be had. But I got to go to one of your practices at Tampa, and I watched you in action. And what was amazing to me is, I asked the players at the end of the practice, what is it about this guy that people want to go through a wall for? Why do they want to play for him? And one player said to me, because he treats us like men, not like football players. And that's such a strong statement, because you went up and down the line where they're stretching. You're talking to them about their family. You're talking about their kids. You knew about if somebody's mom was ill. Those are the kinds of things that true leaders do. And it's always an honor to be around you. And you know, I know you're a big NBA fan, and I think you were at the All-Star game this year. Share with the soldiers what that feeling was like, because it was funny for me to hear you sound like you were a little kid going to see the people and meet all the legends of the NBA.
I was, and I had my 13-year-old son with me, and so I'm just, you know, and I guess he got to see how people are sometimes around me, and it was kind of weird for him, because a lot of people come up to me and everything, but I'm there. Justin, do you know, this is George Gervin. This guy's the greatest scorer in the history of the game, and he could score on anybody. And he's okay. Justin, this is Earl Monroe. You can't believe how he changed the game and how special he was. And I'm like, I got to take a picture with you. And he just laughed. He said, Dad, you're like a fan. And I said, yeah, I was. But it was just incredible to be around guys who I had grown up watching and just getting to spend a little time with him. It was awesome.
Well, I've been very fortunate to have people like Bob Delaney, Dwight Hicks is with me, and Donald Foyle is with me on this trip. And this is our 10th trip to go visit and broadcast the show from either Iraq, Afghanistan, Landstuhl, Guantanamo, and now over to here. And as I said, you've always been there every time I've called you, Tony, and I can't thank you. I want to ask you a football question quickly with the 2 minutes that we have left here. It's the 100th anniversary of the NFL, and I asked Brian Billick last year about, when you look at where this game is today, what is most significant about what's happened in professional football? So I pose the same question to you.
I think it's the way the country has taken to the game. And television, I think Pete Rozelle and the television contract and getting it broadcast, and NFL Films doing a job of bringing guys up close and personal. But we have done a great job, I think, of highlighting our players and getting that connection with the fans. And I walk around now, I mean, the last 2 months, all I hear is people, when are you starting up? When is the season? I can't wait for football. And we've done a great job of making it, you know, America's game. So I think that connection in television has been huge.
What do you like most about this season, and which teams? I mean, is there somebody that has jumped out at you? I look at it, and the work that I've done in analyzing it, it looks as balanced as I've ever seen it before.
It really is, and that's why I am excited about this season, because there's probably 12 teams you could say, hey, they've got a chance to go to the Super Bowl, and you could be right. There's no clear-cut favorite. New England is always very good, but they've lost enough people. Rob Gronkowski is a huge loss. They lost their center. So you can't just say, well, New England's definitely going to be there. And I think that's what's going to be fun about the season. There's going to be, for at least the first 3 months, there's going to be 10 or 12 teams that people think, boy, my team could do it.
We only got about 30 seconds left. Andrew Luck retiring suddenly as he did. I have so much respect for him. I sit in San Francisco, so I covered his career down at Stanford. Your thoughts on it briefly, Tony?
I was shocked because they had alumni day. I was at the Colts camp the Thursday before it broke talking to Andrew. He's throwing footballs to ball boys. He's running, doing sprints, working out like a maniac. And then 2 days later, he said he was retiring. But knowing Andrew, it wasn't a spur-of-the-moment thing. It was a long, well-thought-out process, and I wish him the best. As Coach Noel used to always say, if you're not 100% in it, you shouldn't play. So I'm with him.
I'm glad you got a chance to talk to Bob Delaney. He thinks an awful lot of you.
Oh, my friend.
Yeah, Tony, God, thanks for carrying John Harbaugh every time you're in the booth with him.
Well, great to talk to you guys. Have a good time. I really appreciate it. I wish I could go with you one day. We're going to try to make that happen.
I hope so, Tony. Take care, my friend.
Stay safe, Coach.
All right.
Hall of Fame Coach Tony Dungy with us. Of course, you see him on Sunday night in the National Football League, Sunday Night Football. We'll come back on the other side. When we do, we'll talk to another great one, Mike Haynes, in the Hall of Fame as well. And at that time, we're going to have Dwight Hicks, who, of course, a four-time Pro Bowl player. He's going to jump in here, and we'll talk some football with the two of them. We do that as we continue across America and around the world. We're in South Korea on Sports Byline.